Welcome to Extreme Faith with Dr. Gerard Curry, Senior Pastor of Tradition Worship Center in beautiful Port St. Lucie, Florida.
This is my Bible as I look into the perfect law of liberty, the mirror of God's Word. I see myself as God sees me. I am who He said I am. I have what He said I have. I can do what He said I can do. I'm about to receive the incorruptible, indestructible, living seed of my living God. My heart is receptive, my mind is alert, and I will never be the same. Never, never, never. I'll never be the same. In Jesus' name, hallelujah. Praise God, you may be seated.
If your child learns best with a hands-on approach, Synergy Vocational Academy is for you, a faith-based magnet school that's now enrolling K through 12th grade. Synergy offers certifications, degrees, and apprenticeships in NCCER-accredited construction trades, multimedia, film production, gaming, culinary, and more. Synergy Vocational Academy is the school of tomorrow and accepts all state-funded scholarships. To learn more, call 801-5522 or check us out on the web at synergyk12.com.
Thank you for joining us today. We're picking up where we left off yesterday. We've been looking at Paul's thorn in the flesh. Many people believe it is a sickness and disease that God would not heal Paul from, the Apostle Paul. But that's not the fact. So we're picking up where we left off yesterday, and we want you to get the truth, because the truth makes you free. In Jesus' name, let's pick up the sermon.
God didn't want for anyone to take sickness, just as much as He didn't want anyone to not be saved. You've got to get this in your spirit right now. Amen. So God replies, my grace is sufficient. And so many people believe that that means whatever sickness and disease we go through, the grace of God is a greater gift than the gift of healing. Did you hear what I just said? Listen, I'll say it again. So many people have wrongly taken this meaning that His grace is sufficient, that whatever sickness and disease we go through or we have, the grace of God is a greater gift than the gift of healing. Which would you have, the strength to stay sick and just put up with it, or the gift to be healed completely? You don't have to answer that. I know what your answer is. Of course. Healed completely. And yet so many people think God gives you that power to remain in that sickness, take it like a trooper, and that'll give God glory. No, healing brings God glory, not sickness. We have to get that straight, amen? They think that we were meant to endure the suffering and receive empowerment to rise above the circumstances. Wow. Well, that blows everything else into the water that Jesus said, I'm giving you authority, you bind, you loose. You got no chance, dude. You just got to put up with it. No, no, no. It's a lie from the pit of hell. So we're going to look at that. Does God give us His grace? Yes, of course. Does He give us the empowerment to rise above natural circumstances? Yes, He does that too. But when it comes to healing, listen, the circumstances of people speaking about you, God's giving you a grace and an encouragement how to overcome that and speak life over them and pray for you, your enemies even. He gives you that power to overcome natural circumstances. He does that. When it comes to healing, it glorifies God much more to receive a miracle of healing than to stay sick. Sickness doesn't bring God any glory whatsoever, but healing does. Come on now. Wow. Why do I say that? He does give us the ability over natural circumstances, but when it comes to healing, it glorifies God far more to receive a miracle of healing, not to live with it. Good grief. Why? Because Jesus, when He died for us, He died for us to receive salvation and our healing. There's no question about it. I don't have to discuss it. I don't even have to be a theologian to understand it. I just need to read it. With the stripes on his back when he was crucified, we are healed. He healed us. It tells us all over. He took our infirmities and bore our sicknesses. And as much as he took my sins and my infirmities and my sickness, I'm not going to debate with him. It does not glorify God for us to be sick. It glorifies and gets him glory when we are healed. Now listen, don't misunderstand what I am saying. I know God uses people tremendously and usually with disabilities to further his kingdom. He uses anybody that's available. And even if you did have a disability, if you, whatever the situation is, he will use people with that. But that doesn't mean it's his will for them to be ill. Amen. You know, some people say, well, how are you going to lead these drug addicts away from drugs? You've never been a drug addict. Wow. That's crazy. Because Jesus went and hung around with sinners. And he was never a sinner. How's he going to help them? You get it? Yeah. So you've got to be sick in order to help other sick people. Wrong. Jesus was not sick a day in his life. And he healed every person who came to him, every single one. So don't be saying, well, you've got to be a drug addict to lead them to God and get them out of drugs, or you have to be a prostitute in order to get them from prostitution. What did he do with Mary and cast out seven demons of Mary Magdalene? He cast out seven demons of prostitution and other things. And he didn't have any of that. So don't be saying, well, you've got to have experienced it in order to do it. No, all I need is the Holy Spirit and the Word of God. Okay, so now, how can we believe that Jesus died for our healing and salvation, yet believe that God chose to not deliver Paul from a physical affliction? How can we believe that? No, put up with the poor, my grace is sufficient. Wow. He could have then said, no, you're not going to be saved, but my grace is sufficient for you to die and go to hell. Not true. This mindset makes no sense. It's a contradiction to the Word of God. It's like saying Jesus died for some people to be healed, just not Paul. All right, so we're going to look at this. It's always, remember this, it's always God's will to heal. He proved that 2,000 years ago. All right, so let's now look at the definition of Paul's thorn in the flesh. And I think that there's a problem in the modern day meaning of thorn in the flesh. These days, instead of saying a thorn in the flesh, don't you say that person's a pain in my neck or other places? Or he's or she's just a pain in my life? Meaning that that person is someone unpleasant to be around, irritating, or annoying, which could actually be any kind of thing that they're doing to you in your life. They just rub you the wrong way. And it could be other things as well. Roadworks, when you're trying to get to a place in a hurry, it becomes just an irritation. Traffic jams, noisy neighbors, unfriendly, nasty neighbors, people at work you just can't stand being around. Come on. They're a pain in my neck. They're a pain in my butt, some people say. That person just irks me the wrong way. That's the same as Paul having a thorn in his side. Well, how can you say that, Pastor? Well, this Bible definition is not a thorn like we think it in the side, bringing sickness and disease. The Old Testament refers to a thorn in the flesh each time, meaning the enemies of Israel. Wow. Now, you've got to remember that Paul was not just a Pharisee, but he was one of the most religious Pharisees. In fact, he called himself a Pharisee of the Pharisees. All right? Paul knew the Torah inside out. He knew what a pain in the flesh or a prick or a thorn was. So when he wrote these words, he was not referring to what we believe sometimes he was referring to. Look at Numbers 33. Turn with me to Numbers 33 or write it down. Numbers 33 and verse 55. I'm reading from the King James. It says, but if you will not drive out, talking to Israel, if you don't drive out the inhabitants of the land from before you, right? I'm giving you the land, go push out all the ones that are wrong. Watch out. If you don't drive them out, then it shall come to pass that those which you let remain of them shall be pricks in your eyes and thorns in your sides. Oh my goodness. And shall vex you in the land where you live. I mean, I just need to read one scripture in the Old Covenant, and then you can see what Paul was reading. Because don't forget, he didn't have the New Testament yet. He was busy writing it, right? He didn't have the Gospels yet. The apostles were still busy writing them. Come on. Do you understand what I'm saying? And so I'll read that again. If you will not drive out the inhabitants, that's people. That is people. If you don't get rid of these people from the land, then it's going to happen that those that you let remain shall be pricks in your eyes and thorns in your sides and shall vex you in the land where you live. Nothing to do with sickness. They're just going to be an irritation. They're going to be causing problems. They're going to be problematic. You're going to have issues with these people if you don't get rid of them. I've got some people in my life that I don't hang around with because they are just so negative. So negative, I don't want to catch it. They're a pain to be around. Hello? Are you getting something here? You need to get this because this is vitally important. Amen. Now watch it. Turn to Joshua 23. Joshua 23. I am showing you what Paul was reading and what Paul knew from the writings of the Old Covenant believers. Okay, so now watch it. Joshua 23, verse 13. This is referring to the thorn in Paul's side that people equate to sickness and disease, especially and particularly with his eyes. Watch here. Joshua 23, 13. Know for a certainty that your Lord, the Lord your God, will no more drive out any of these nations from before you. He's not going to drive them out. But they will be snares and traps unto you and scourges in your sides and thorns in your eyes until you perish from off this good land which the Lord your God has given you. Joshua 23. Isn't Joshua the one who led them into the land, the promised land? And he's saying, if you don't drive out all these inhabitants, remember he took the walls of Jericho down, drove them out, killed them? Remember that? He says, if you don't do this, know for a certainty that God's not going to drive them out. Ooh, what is that telling me right now? Think about that. I have the authority under the power of the Holy Spirit to bind whatever is coming against me. That's why I can say no weapon formed against me will prosper. And every tongue that rises up against me in judgment, I will condemn. You see, that when they rise up against you saying bad things about you, that is a thorn in the side, a prick in your eyes. Do you get what God is saying here? So watch here. He's saying, you've got to do it. I'm not going to do it. Know for a certainty that me, the Lord your God, I'm not going to drive out any of these nations from before you. I've given you the power, the authority, and you can go now and do it yourselves.
Thank you for joining us for this episode of Extreme Faith. To hear this message in its entirety, log on to traditionworshipcenter.com or join us for our live services on Sundays at 10 a.m. and Wednesdays at 7 p.m. with youth and children's services available, located at 10799 Southwest Civic Lane, Port St. Lucie, in our beautiful Tradition Square Town Hall facility.
Good Country homestyle cooking is found at Crossroads Restaurant. Your place for beef and pork roast, chicken and dumplings, fried turkey breast with lots of veggies and salad bar. Family owned and operated since 1991, Crossroads Restaurant is open 5:30 to 2:30, Monday through Saturday, and Sunday 7 to 2:30. Takeout orders available. Crossroads Restaurant, a corporate underwriter of WCNO, located on Highway 70 at Posey's Corner, available at